Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. We're glad you could be with us this evening. We have a lot of great guests and some wonderful topics lined up to discuss on tonight's program. Let's first introduce our leadoff guest. He is the senior writer for MLB.com and MLBPipeline.com, Mr. Jim Callis. Jim, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, and thanks so much for not only your outstanding coverage all year long, but some great insights leading up to the Major League Baseball draft last month, which I know provided so much information, made the draft a whole lot of fun, but we appreciate your time tonight. Hello, Jim? Okay, we're trying to get Jim hooked up here, and of course, later in the program, we're going to be talking with Keith Grohler about some other big issues in Pennsylvania. But right now, Jim is on the line. Jim, are you with us?
I am. How are you doing, Chris?
Great. So much. Thanks so much for joining us. And I was just kind of leading up to introducing you about all the tremendous work you do, not just during the year, but for the Major League Baseball draft. For people that, you know, think the NFL draft and the NBA draft, there's a lot of information there. You and your colleagues with the videos, the insights, the projections, and so forth, for not just high school, but also college players, too, at the same time, that has to be an awful lot of work, but it makes the draft itself very interesting. What's that time like, and how much work do you and your colleagues put in getting all that information on players across the country?
An awful lot. I appreciate you saying that. An awful lot. I enjoy it. I mean, I always look at it as a puzzle. I take a lot of pride and have a lot of fun trying to figure out when we're doing mock drafts who's going where and trying to figure out who's going with what pick, and then when we do our prospect list for the draft, putting guys in order, and then after that trying to figure out who's going to sign and for how much, and we're one day away from the signing deadline tomorrow at this point, but it feels like we start that pretty much after I get back from spring training and don't really stop the pre-draft stuff until the day of the draft. And then the signing stuff isn't as involved, but still there's a lot going on covering that stuff too.
Yeah, and there's so much, as you touched on, there's so much involved in the drafts. It's not cut and dry like the NFL or the NBA. I want to ask you about teams in particular of interest to our viewers, the Phillies, Nationals, Mets, and Yankees. We'll start with the Phillies, though, the number one draft pick. And I know some people in the Delaware Valley were a little surprised the Phillies didn't select a college pitcher. There were a few rumored about. I think Phillies fans were kind of looking for an Aaron Nola type of player that could make a quick transition and join the club in a year or a year and a half. But I think money was one of the factors why the Phillies went in a different direction. So could you talk a little bit about Mickey Moniak and why the Phillies selected a high school player number one?
Yeah, you know, I actually don't think money was a factor in their decision. When you're picking number one, you're picking number one because your team stinks, and you've got to pick the best player.
Yeah.
And the college pitching, starting pitching this year was not very good. I would take Aaron Nola at the time of his draft over any pitcher in this draft, like no question, without hesitation. Yeah. The guy they were rumored to be taking, A.J. Puck, mm-hmm. I'm not a big A.J. Puck fan for taking the guy 1-1. I mean, he's talented. He's this big, physical lefty. You see him on the right day, Chris. It's mid-90s. It's a wipeout slider. There's an awful lot of days where he doesn't throw strikes. He averaged less than five innings to start this year at Florida. Wins are not the be-all, end-all statistic. But, you know, in college, this is a guy with dominant stuff on a team that won 52 games, second most wins in the country. He won two games. In his own rotation, I don't mean to trash A.J. Puck, but in his rotation, they have a very talented rotation. Just their weekend rotation, to me, he'd be the third best choice to win a game if I had to win a game right now in wow. college. So while Puck could look great on paper, and if you see him on the right night, I don't think he was the best player in the draft. There wasn't another college starter you could really take there. Mm-hmm. In Moniak, they got a guy who he's got a high ceiling and a high floor. Even though he's a high school guy, I think I'd be very shocked if this guy doesn't hit for high average, good on-base percentages, plus center fielder, plus runner. Not going to be a big power guy, but I think he could be a 12 home run guy, maybe 15. And so I think you're looking at a guy who could, you know, be a, you know, potential. I've had some guys say he's a 70 hitter on the 20 to 80 scale. I mean, this is a guy who potentially could be a 300 hitter, you know, 12 home runs a year, 25 steals. You maybe go after a gold glove in center field. That's a pretty good player. So I think they got a really talented player, Mickey Moniak. And when I ranked, again, and it's early, you know, we got to see how these guys play out. I thought the Phillies had the best draft in baseball. I just, you know, you have the big, you know, one of the biggest bonus pools. The way the bonus pool system is set up, you get assigned pick values for every pick in the first 10 rounds, and you can kind of spend the money as you see fit. And I thought they had the best draft of anybody. I really, really liked what they did.
Yeah, as far as the Nationals, the Mets, and the Yankees, they also they didn't draft as early, obviously, as the Phillies. The 18th, 19th, and 28th, the Nationals actually had 28 and 29 picks. But you saw a lot of high schoolers go to those three organizations. Was that a trend this year? Or I know some years you look at it and say a pitcher-heavy draft or a hitter-heavy draft or a high school-driven draft. Was there, did it sway any direction, or was there a lot of diversity?
I think it's just more that the college crop wasn't as strong this year. The high school crop was particularly strong, especially on the pitching side. If you were to take the top 10 or 12 pitchers in the draft, I'd say at least 8 of them would be high school guys in this year's draft. I think teams sometimes outsmart themselves. Yeah, you'd like the quicker return if everything was equal, but there's an awful lot of talented high school players too. And when teams, you know, say, okay, we're going to go heavy college, we want the guys to get there quicker, well, you're eliminating a lot of good players. So I think, you know, those other clubs you're talking about, you know, just kind of took the best guy on the board. You know, you look at the Nationals, you know, their first pick was Carter Kieboom. He's one of the best high school hitters in the country. Their third rounder, who they gave $1 million to, over $1 million to, seven-figure bonus, was Jesus Luzardo, a very, very polished left-hander who had Tommy John surgery. And that's something the Nationals have done before with Lucas Giolito and Eric Fetty. And Luzardo could have been a first-round pick if not for the Tommy John surgery. And they kind of sandwiched those guys around Dane Dunning, who's another pitcher on that Florida staff, who was in their bullpen but will be a starter as a pro. That Florida pitching staff was loaded. And Sheldon Noisy, who's one of the best college hitters in this draft. So I just think that was nice balance for the Nationals. You know, the Yankees, you know, kind of, you know, same thing in terms of balance. You know, they got Blake Rutherford at 18. He came into the year actually rated as the best high school position player, even ahead of Moniak. And it wasn't so much that he slipped, but Moniak passed him. Rutherford had a big price tag, which is why he dropped. The Yankees got a great value there at 18. Nolan Martinez, their third-round pick, another high school arm. He's got a fastball that can get to the mid-90s at times and a pretty good curveball. And then, they, you know, in between that, they took Nick Solak, who's a college performer, hits for a high average, can run and play second base or maybe center field. So they kind of divide that up. And then I think their team you asked me about was, what, the Mets?
Yeah,
the Mets. Yeah, the Mets kind of went college. You know, they were the heavy college team. I don't think they took a high school player until the 11th round, and they actually signed him the other day. He's a 6'4 right-hander who he got up to 94 miles an hour. He signed for $1,001,000. I don't know why the extra dollar mattered to him. It did, but only because our teams, they kind of went heavy college. They got two pitchers in Justin Dunn and Anthony Kay. Mm-hmm. Dunn was a guy who really came on this year, really rose up draft boards. Kay, very polished lefty. He signed for a reduced amount of money, which enabled them to sign Cameron Plank for $1,001,001. Kay has a little thing going on with his elbow. But then the second round they got another guy off of Florida, Pete Alonso, probably the best hitter on that club this year. And third, you know, Blake Tiberi from Louisville. He's a college performer. Fourth round they got Michael Paez, who's a shortstop with pop from Coastal Carolina, which won the College World Series. So they went heavily college all the way down until round 11.
As far as the prospects in each of those four organizations, the Phillies, obviously, J.P. Crawford, we talked with him a few weeks ago on this program, along with Nick Williams. Jake Thompson has really been pitching well. Cornelius Randolph is a guy that has worked its way into the top five or six prospects in the Phillies organization. Jim, your thoughts on the organization overall? I know J.P. Crawford, a lot of people in the Philadelphia area have been very anxious and pushing for him. Is there a chance we'll see him before September of this year?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say on that because there's really no reason from a financial standpoint to promote J.P. Crawford this year. I mean, it stinks as a fan, but it's just the way it works. You know, there's no point in getting his service time started. He would not be Super 2 eligible if he just started playing forward. But let's say he doesn't begin next year in the majors. If you give him service time this year, it might make him arbitration or free agent eligible a year earlier than expected. So that's always a tough call for teams. You know, he doesn't have to be on the 40-man roster yet, so you'd have to give up a roster spot. You'd have to give up the opportunity. You know, you'd have to give up, you know, potentially losing him a year later for, free agency-wise. So it's just very tough to make that call. But they do have a deep farm system, one of the deepest farm systems in baseball. You know, we talked about all the guys they added in this year's draft. I really like the guys they got in the Cole Hamels trade last year. Jake Thompson, the right-hander. Nick Williams, one of the best pure hitters in the minors. Jorge Alfaro is one of the best catching prospects. I just saw last night I was broadcasting the AAA All-Star game, and I saw Andrew Knapp, another one of their catchers, saw him hit an opposite field home run. He's a switch hitting catcher with power. You mentioned Randolph, off to a little bit of a slow start, but he was a 10th overall pick in last year's draft, and it goes on and on and on. You know, I saw Ricardo Pinto in the Futures game. He's got a strong arm. It's an incredibly deep farm system. And, yeah, you know, they're going to have to go through a couple painful years, but I do think when they finally embrace rebuilding, they're doing a good job of it, and that's the way they need to go.
Now, as far as the Nationals, they're in a much different situation, obviously, in a playoff race. Lucas Giolito, bit of a surprise. We saw him called up a couple weeks ago, has had some mixed reviews so far. Trey Turner is a people I know a lot of people have liked in the minor league systems, and there's a transition going on and moving him right now where he's blocked at shortstop to being in center field. But your thoughts, I don't know if you've seen Trey lately. Do you think Turner can make that adjustment, especially with a team in the playoff race? It's, you know, you're kind of reluctant to bring up players, so as it is when there's so much on the line in games, and when you get to August and September, especially making a position change. But what are your thoughts on some of the Nationals' prospects overall?
Yeah, they aren't as deep as the Phillies, but they do have some really nice impact guys. They have a pretty good core of five prospects that I really do like. You mentioned Giolito. He's probably the best pitching prospect in baseball. Mm-hmm. Kind of came up because the injuries created a need. I think he could contribute down the stretch, whether it's in the bullpen or if they have an injury that creates a hole in the rotation. I just think he has tremendous stuff and good command, and he's very physical. Love Lucas Giolito. With Turner, I'd be more worried about it if you were switching positions in the infield, which I think that's harder to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, if they put him in center, he definitely has the speed to play out there. He's got the athleticism. You know, I think the biggest thing you have to learn when you're playing center, it's a little easier on the corners when you're moving to the outfield because the way the ball comes off the bat. Mm-hmm. In center, sometimes it's a little harder to judge. You know, do I have to come in? Do I have to go back and a ball hit right at you? But you know, I think it's a good way to get his bat in the lineup. He can hit. He's got sneaky pop. He can really run. Their center field of the future is a guy who's one of the best prospects in baseball, who and fans probably don't know a whole lot about him, Victor Robles, who's just got promoted to high class A a couple weeks ago. This guy might have the best all-around tools in the minors. And I don't just mean the national system. I mean all of baseball. This guy's a well-above-average runner. It's a well-above-average arm, plus hitter, plus center fielder. I think he's going to have at least average power. He's fabulous. I mentioned Eric Fetty a little bit earlier. You know, he's another Tommy John survivor. You know, they drafted him knowing that he'd had Tommy John surgery. He's come back from that very well. And then Ronaldo Lopez is a guy who sometimes gets lost in the shadow of Giolito, but Ronaldo Lopez can his fastball reaches 100 miles an hour. His curveball can be pretty nasty too. Not quite as polished or as physical as Lucas Giolito, but it's another big-time arm.
Yeah, Lopez a few weeks ago was just called up to AAA, so he may not be all that far away from possibly helping Washington out this year. Our special leadoff guest is Jim Callis, senior baseball writer for MLB.com and MLBPipeline.com. I want to get your thoughts, Jim, on the Yankees. They were in some news as far as Jorge Mateo recently, who was suspended, and there seems to be conflicting reports as far as why he was suspended. I'm not sure if you have inside knowledge on that, but another player in particular I wanted to ask about, Aaron Judge, who on MLBPipeline.com has drawn comparisons to Giancarlo Stanton, which is pretty high praise. So your thoughts on the Yankees' prospects?
Yeah, I mean, those are our two best prospects along with catcher Gary Sanchez. You know, Mateo, I've heard different things. I don't know exactly what happened there. I mean, it sounded like it was more insubordination than anything, mm-hmm. but I don't know if anybody really knows the specifics. I mean, do you like to see it? No. Is it a big deal in the long term? Not necessarily. You know, I think he was frustrated. You know, one story, they're frustrated about not being promoted. But from a tool standpoint, I mean, this guy's got top-of-the-line speed. He led the minors in steals last year. He's not just a slappy guy who puts the ball on the ground and tries to beat it out. He's got some pop. You know, he's a guy who's been drawing a lot of Jose Reyes comparisons. You know, as a kind of Jose Reyes in his prime comparisons. You know, Judge gets us Giancarlo Stanton comparisons because he's a huge guy, fairly athletic. I mean, he's good. I wouldn't say his power and his athleticism are quite in Giancarlo Stanton's class, but there are some parallels there. The downside is he just had I don't think it's a major knee injury, but just wound up hurting his knee, and he's probably going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks. So I don't know if we'll necessarily see him in New York this year. He had really started to heat up, was about as hot as any hitter in the International League, but now we might have to wait. He'll be back. I think the plan is he'll be back before the end of the year, mm-hmm. but we may have to wait until 2017 to see him in Yankee Stadium at this point.
And with the Mets, I know they have a ton of young prospects that are hitters, position players, Dominic Smith among them. You know, I look at their prospect list on MLB.com, and I see that only one of their top 11 prospects are pitchers. Now, they're loaded in the terms of the starting rotation, with the exception of Bartolo Colon. Just about everyone is young in their 20s. Matt Harvey's obviously concerned with his injury, but do you get concerned at all that they don't have any pitching prospects nearby in the pipeline, especially if they get another injury or two in their playoff chase?
No, I'm not too worried because I think those things are cyclical. I mean, on the flip side of that, I mean, how many teams promoted a DeGrom, a Harvey, a Syndergaard, all in short order? You know, that doesn't happen too much. Zach Wheeler was another guy who came through their system recently. Steve Matz, obviously. And they did take college pitchers with their first two picks in the draft. So I think those guys can move fairly quickly for them. I think it's just cyclical. I mean, I think that the big prospect to watch in their system is Ahmed Rosario, who's in the futures game, made a nice defensive play. If anybody watched that game, he's an all-around shortstop, too. He's not just a defensive wizard. He's a plus runner. I think he's really going to hit. He's got some power, too. He's going to be a double-digit home run guy. I think Ahmed Rosario, you know, people have been wondering, okay, who's the Mets shortstop of the future? It's been kind of a revolving door for a while, really since Reyes left. And I think Ahmed Rosario is going to probably take that position over within the next year and hold it for a long, long, long time.
Yeah. Speaking of the futures game, you were in Charlotte to cover that. And I've noticed over the years that game seems more interesting than the All-Star game. Not only, I know Major League Baseball has tried to drum it up with making the game count and so forth, but, you know, with the futures game, you see a lot of players that are trying to make a name for themselves before they hit the big time. And the competition really seems to be fun. So what was that atmosphere like? And among the teams that were most interested, the Indians players really looked to shine last night. So your thoughts on the Futures game?
Well, that was actually the AAA All-Star game last night. I was at the Futures game a couple days before that. I do love the Futures game. It's, you see so many of the baseball's best prospects at one time. You know, if anybody watched the Futures game, you saw Alex Bregman, who will probably be called up the Astros very soon, get three hits. You saw a couple of fabulous defensive plays by Manuel Margot and Eloy Jimenez. You saw Yoan Moncada, who might be the best prospect in baseball right now, hit a two-run homer. Eloy Jimenez, who's one of the best rising prospects in baseball, proved his stock as much as anybody this year, hit a home run. And at the AAA All-Star game last night, kind of the pitching was a story, but the guy who stood out the most for me was Eric Gonzalez of the Indians. Mm-hmm. Made the defensive play of the game, nice double play in the ninth inning, also hit a home run. He's kind of blocked by Francisco Lindor, but I do think he's talented enough to play shortstop for a lot of clubs.
All right, before we let you go, I know breaking news here. Pomerantz and Espinoza swapping with the Padres and Red Sox. I don't mean to catch you off guard, but any initial thoughts of that?
When I saw that, my first reaction was if you'd said in spring training that would get traded one for one, nobody would have believed you. Yeah. But, Espinoza, Pomerantz is a former high draft pick who's really had a nice year for San Diego this year after having to make the team out of spring training. And Espinoza, he's only 18 years old, but very advanced pitching prospect, draws some. No, nobody seems to be as good as Pedro Martinez, but he's a smaller guy with big-time stuff and advanced command for his age. You know, he gets up to, 94, 97 with his fastball, good curveball, good changeup. I really like that trade for the Padres. I mean, Pomerantz is obviously the guy who can help you now, but Anderson Espinoza, potentially is a superstar.
Jim, thanks so much for your time and great job all year long at MLB.com and MLBpipeline.com with all of your insights and videos.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Jim Kallas, senior writer for MLB.com and MLBpipeline.com with insights on the draft and some players of interest in the RCN viewing area. In just a couple minutes, we're going to take a break, bring in our studio guests, and talk about some high school sports issues and some summertime basketball news as well. But right now, it's time for our trivia question, and roll it out there to give you a chance at winning tonight's special prize. Tonight's question does deal with Major League Baseball. Which current Major League Baseball player has had his jersey number purchased the most so far during the 2016 regular season? MLB.com just closed the numbers at the end of the first half, so which player in all of Major League Baseball had his jersey number purchased the most since the season got underway? And just ahead of the break, here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Joining us in studio, we have Keith Groller from The Morning Call, outstanding sports writer and radio personality. And next to him, the man whose sole reason for coming in today was because someone told him there's a Pokemon hidden under our newly painted Sports Talk desk, Mr. Joseph Linwood Craig. You're kidding me. It's the hottest craze in the world. Everyone, Keith, you know what Pokemon
Go
is,
right?
Yeah, Pokemon. Yeah. Everyone is playing this.
Is that like the
you're kidding
the doughboy that you poke his stomach kind of a thing?
Zaya, please explain to him what the hottest sport, the hottest game in the entire world is.
Oh, I thought it was Atari or something like that.
Yeah,
that is
one of those new things out there.
Exactly.
Nintendo's actually coming back. Atari is more of your time.
I have Atari.
All right, I got so many questions to ask Keith here. First and foremost, high school basketball is going on. Big tournament last week, big tournament coming up this weekend. There's a couple questions I want to ask you about it because I know a lot of the big names aren't playing at the local tournaments, but still, there's a lot of good basketball to be played. So what are some of the off-season's interest in terms of the hoop season?
Well, we were waiting in the green room, Joe and I. We were discussing that there's a lot of movement going on, and that continues to be one of the storylines that involve all of high school sports, not just the sport of basketball. I understand there's a pretty good football player was going from Whitehall to Central Catholic, the Boykin, Desmond Boykin, very talented. I understand he's going, but there, you know, hey, we got Aiden Elwood, who was at Central Catholic last year after spending his freshman year at Northampton. Now he's going back to Northampton. We have another young man, Shaquille DeZoni, who was a pretty good sophomore for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Actually made an impact immediately as a freshman 2 years ago. He's transferring to Hudson Catholic. Now, I understand what his situation, it's a must-happen situation because the grandmother's taking the family in or they lost their home or something along that line.
Yeah.
And Shaquille did not want to leave Allentown Central. Yeah. And we have a variety of movements going on out
there.
You got
the kid from Nazareth who's leaving Dodson.
Right. Well, that's another.
Well, yeah, I understand.
That's another.
He's also track. Yeah.
But there's a lot of movement going on. And to me, it continues to detract from what should be high school sports at its finest. I mean, we continually talk about these transfers, and it just creates hard feelings. But it is the way of the world. It's kind of an AAU culture out there right now.
I was surprised how good Central looked last weekend because with all the people leaving and they lost, say, Jennings, of course, to graduation, I thought they might be depleted. But first of all, in terms of numbers, they had more people on their courts than anyone, I think, any other
team
there.
Well, they still have a lot of guys that have played the last couple of years. Dat Lambert, who I guess 2 years ago was at Bethlehem Catholic.
Yeah.
Kevin Kern is playing well. Chris Ocasio. They have enough guys. I mean, the Vaughns are playing well. So they have enough people at Central. They're going to be okay. But, hey, you can't lose Aiden Elwood and Shaquille DeZoni and not be affected in some negative way, in my opinion. The teams that were actually, it was no surprise that the teams that were mostly intact fared the best last week. And I'm talking about tournament champion Pocono Mountain West. And Liberty was as good as anybody. Remember, they played double elimination until the very end. So Liberty only had one loss, but they got knocked out in the semifinal. So Liberty did very, very well, and they had a lot of their guys there. Freedom did exceptionally well. Whitehall, which did not have Mikey Eskelin, was in the championship game. But they had most of the rest of their guys. So, you know, we take it for what it's worth. We know that a lot of these teams are shorthanded. Sam Maiorio told me he doubts he's going to play. He got to play some last weekend. He got to play some, but he's not going to play at all this weekend. I don't think you're going to see Talik Williams or Tyrese Martin from Allen. I don't think you're going to see Matt or David Kaka reach from Emmaus. So it is what it is. It's an opportunity. It's still a great atmosphere out there. Trust me. No. Heck of a time getting out of that parking lot at Cedar Beach to get out here.
And there's a good chance for other kids to show
that's
what
they
can do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
And they got to take advantage, sure.
Well, that's one of the comments that I heard the most that last weekend was that at first some people were griping about, you know, the Allen kids, they were there for one game, they weren't there. Iorio was only there for a couple minutes and some other players. But other people said, you know what, it might be a blessing in disguise for a lot of the teams, especially that teams that are going through youth movements and they got a lot of players. Yeah. So it's fun basketball to watch, and you can also kind of see, as opposed to years past when the summer was just kind of a throwaway, now there's people that's arguing or jockeying for position, and you get to see what players are like in certain situations. And I think the coaches really can get something out of the summer programs.
Well, the coaches love it. I mean, they really can use a lot of guys, and they can see exactly right. what they have. The fans are the ones that feel cheated. They want right. to see. They definitely want to see Talik Williams, who is probably maybe the most exciting player. I'm not saying he's the most well-rounded or talented player, but he is certainly the most exciting player that we've had around here in a long time. He just electrified the crowd.
How many dunks did he have Friday night?
At least three or four. I mean, I try to video. We have to videotape some now a little bit, and I never could catch his dunks, and it's always like a good night for me if I can get one of his dunks, because I know if I tweet it out, it's going to get a lot of hits.
Joe. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I think the it's tough on the fans, but for the kids, if you have a mediocre, not I shouldn't say mediocre, but if you have a less than stellar program where you're not one of the top three or four in your league every year, this gives you a chance in the summer to actually take your kids, and they have a chance to hang into games that normally they would not be hanging into. Yeah. And I think that's a good mental thing for your program.
But I'm excited. I mean, I know we're you know, just a couple of weeks away. We're discussing that as well, Joe and I, how soon the football season is coming this year. August 8th is really when they're going to we're going to start making our tours, and we're going to be playing football August 26th, real football on August 26th, 27th this year. But I'm excited about basketball already, because I think we're going to have a lot. There's no superpower. We just have about eight to ten really good teams. And I think the EPC is going to be wide open. Last couple of years, it's been Parkland. Can anybody match up with Parkland? It's Parkland, 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 Parkland. This year, Parkland's one of the teams, but there's a lot of good teams.
Well, I'm going to get the football in a minute, because Joe is already on record as making a very bold prediction about the upcoming season. But I just want to stick with basketball for a couple more minutes. Any other surprises so far that you've seen of teams from Philadelphia or from outside the area? Bonner Prendergrass was a team that I was surprised at, because they got a 6'8 guy who didn't play at all last weekend. And still, they played well. They defeated Peaburg and Berks Catholic and a couple other teams. They didn't play a Liberty or an Allen. But were there any other teams that really surprised you from outside the area?
From outside the area? Not really. I thought Carroll's still a superpower. Mm-hmm. They were the defending tournament champion. I thought maybe they would make a deeper run than they did. There's a whole new batch this weekend. I mean, we're going to see a lot of District 1. We're going to see Reading. And even if they don't have Walker, I think Reading is still going to be a very formidable team. And then we have some Jersey teams. That's what I like the mix about these two tournaments. A lot of people think, oh, we should only have one tournament. But they have different formats, and they have a different mix of teams. Now, the one constant is that all 12, but I still call it the old EPC, old LBC. Those 12 teams are still there. I mean, the six and what was now the EPC Skyline and Steel are going to be there. They were there last week. So that's the one constant. But there's some even Colonial League people that were in this week that weren't in last week. Wilson Warriors, who I don't even know who they named their head coach. Do you?
Yes. Mike Glovis.
Oh, Mike Glovis. Yep. Okay. Yeah, so I hope to catch up with him this weekend to get some background on him. And I know Kenny Termini, who went from one end of the Colonial League way down there in Bucks County all the way up to Carbon County. Yeah. He went from Palisades to Palmerton. I'm looking forward to catching up with Kenny and to see how he's doing as he changed from the purple to the Blue Bomber look. Yeah. So, I look forward to both weekends, man. Good, I really do.
Did you think Lonnie Walker?
I mean, just great man.
Lonnie Walker from Reading, he's not going to be playing this weekend?
We don't know. I would doubt it.
I would highly doubt it. It's fun to watch.
Because if Talik Williams and Sam Iorio and the Calcarese boys aren't playing, I would think Mr. Walker's not playing either, because he's got to have a high-powered AAU tournament event. But I still think if Reading only has like 75 or 80% of their regular personnel,
they're still good.
They're very good. Remember, they went to the state quarters or the state semis last year.
I think they only graduated like one or two key people from last year's team. Joe, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say that the teams that are – I would think that when you have two different tournaments, it's probably better – for the fans, in the sense that maybe in one tournament you may not see everybody's best players, but maybe in the other one you'll see at least one or two of them. You know, they're not always
personnel.
Away for the whole
What people
weekend.
Like about this week's tournament is there's a set schedule on tonight, Friday,
you know who's
and
playing
Saturday. Who. There's no, hey, when are we playing next? I mean, there's just something to be said for the double elimination. There's more of a sense of urgency, but people like to know when their teams are playing, and they know right through Saturday. And then we go to a nice, easy, simple Sweet 16. We begin at, what, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday with a Sweet 16, and we go from 16 to 8 to 4 to 2 to 1. We have our champion at 8 o'clock at night. So, and that in terms of order and schedule and that less confusion, this is the tournament that a lot of people like.
Now, the big question before we move on to other sports issues is the last topic that we talked about during basketball season. The inevitable question we'll probably ask again in March, does the Lehigh Valley, can they compete with Philly schools in the state playoffs?
No.
You think anything?
No, but it's been proven. I mean, I think that Parkland team last year, which I think was the second best team that we've had around here, in a long time. I mean, one of the best teams we've ever had around here. I don't know where they would rank. I thought the Liberty team with Darren Hilliard was very, very good a couple years ago, too, and they made it to the state semis one round further. But when we can't get by Roman Catholic, and then we had that great Central Catholic team that was undefeated, Muhammad's senior year, and they can't get by Newman Gretti, there's going to be one team out there that we just can't get past. And I'm beginning in the fourth quarter of my career, and I don't. It's been 20, 30 some years. It's 30 years now. 86 was the last time we had a state champion. I don't see that changing in, let's say, the next 7 to 10 years.
Yeah. Maybe if you put Parkland, Emmaus, and Liberty together, we could have a state champion.
Well, and there's been talk of that. I talked to a lot of AAU people who tell me I'm all sticky because I'm coming from the beach. not suntan lotion, by the way. But they say, what's wrong with putting in together an all-star team? Because that's what they evidently
sure.
do down here.
Yeah,
they could be right that that's the only way to get it done, but I don't like that. But
you're a pretty good team. Cackle Reese is in the backcourt. You got Malik
and Iorio in there,
the front. Iorio in the front court.
Good ball club there.
But Hoffman?
Never happened, of course.
Well,
not going to happen.
Not going to happen, but it's awfully hard. It's very difficult. Now they spread it out to six, as you know, six classifications. There's a lot of people that think there's a chance there's a door open. There's a door that's going to open there.
Jokes. Calm down. Wait.
But there's a lot of other people who think that's just going to give Philadelphia more championships.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's football or basketball or just about any other sport.
Well, since you brought it up, I mean, in a few weeks we're going to be talking about that hot and heavy, and you know, it's going to affect not just football but all sports. The six classifications. Joe already has made some thoughts on what he is looking for or not happy with. Your thoughts on six classifications for the PIAA. This is not just Lehigh Valley District 11. This was made and approved by schools across the state.
I'm going to try to be diplomatic and take a wait and see approach. My initial reaction was not positive. I think we're watering things down. I think you take for example in 5A. We discussed this in the.
I was going to say, did Joe Bront too?
No.
We should have Joe Bront any of this. This sounds just like Joe.
He had exactly the same thoughts.
But my concern is wait until the public gets a load of Class 5A in football this year.
Well, we've been talking about that for months.
When we just have four schools: Whitehall, Southern Lehigh, East Stroudsburg North, East Stroudsburg South. And before they play a single game, they know they are going to the District 11.
Not only are they going to the tournament, they're all four in the semifinals.
Right.
Yeah. Well, is that definite? Because there was talk about a sub-regional.
Well, I think they're still mulling over the possibility of a sub-regional putting them in there.
But you could have a team that doesn't have any wins.
Look, the bottom line, Chris, is whether they're 0-10 or 10-0, they're playing football in week 11 with an opportunity still to win a state championship.
And I'm not saying that as a joke. I mean, Bangor a couple years ago had no wins. East Stroudsburg North, maybe one win last year. I mean, that's a real possibility. You could have both of those teams in the playoffs.
I find it as being a situation where you're on the road to being like New Jersey. Not as bad, but come on. I mean, what's the next step? Now we're going to go sectionals because there's too many 6A teams in one area. So now let's do sectionals. And pretty soon you have a real watered down. I don't like it. Same reasons that Keith gave. Yeah, I'm on record with that, as you know.
And I guess some of the other classifications. Last week we had Chuck Muller and Phil Stambol here. They were talking about some of the lower classifications that do have 11 schools. It's more competitive, but 8 teams would go to the playoffs next year. So, I mean, this isn't just affecting 6A or 5A.
Yeah.
Because 6A is basically the same. You just took Whitehall out of the mix, and it's the exact same teams in 6A.
6A is still too big. That's the problem. I think if they had cut the classifications up more evenly, but the top classification, which was really overloaded when it was 4A,
yeah.
is going to be just as large at 6A. I think that's the biggest problem. That's still too top-heavy, in my opinion.
Well, now that you and Jill are on the same page, I'm assuming this will change over the next couple of weeks, and there'll be a radical... You've been complaining about this for months.
I'm sure that everything I say and Keith says is going to affect the, what the...
No, I am trying to take a wait-and-see approach. I hear Bobby Hartman. I hear my friend Jason Zimmerman. They're the ones that actually fought for this to a degree. Yeah. We thought it was going to happen next year, and it's already happening this year. I was disappointed, I got to tell you, that when they told me they were going to shorten the season, I was all for it. But then when I heard that we're still going to play 16 weeks of football, basically, if Parkland goes to the state championship again, they're still going to be playing 16 football games. Yeah. Now we're playing football, in the heat of August, which I don't think is healthy. Two games before Labor Day.
Well, we have the heat acclimation week.
Yeah, right. That opening night Friday, which is, I think, August 26th.
Yeah.
That's going to be easily a three-hour-plus game because we're going to have about five or six stoppages for cramps.
Yep. And by the way, it doesn't matter because Joe has already gone on record as saying Parkland is going to win the local title and go all the way deep in the state.
You said Tim Motzman will take this team to new levels,
and they were already to a state championship. So what other new level is it?
Well, that's you just clarified it. I believe that Tim Motzman will take that program to a level that this area has not seen before.
They almost won a state championship last year.
I understand that. And I'm just saying...
Well, he already took Liberty to...
Joe took credit for that, too.
3 and 4 years.
That's exactly right. And to me, I know what he can do. And he gets the right staff together. With the kind of situation they have at Parkland and all the things that they have in their program. And look out. I'm telling you.
All right. We still have the...
If not this year... Certainly within the next 2 years.
You're tailoring your prediction now. We still have that trivia question out there. Which current Major League Baseball player has had his jersey number purchased the most so far during the 2016 season? Some interesting guess. A lot of people are guessing younger players. Take that for what it's worth. Time for a break. And have you heard about the 20% off deal off your entire meal at the new Panos Restaurant at 7200 Airport Road, just minutes north of ABE Airport? It has quickly become the place for great food for everyone in the Lehigh Valley. First of all, cheesesteaks. Forget all the other traditional cheesesteak places in the valley. Panos has become the new place for the authentic cheesesteaks. Nowhere else will you get a large, delicious roll with delicious steak and cheese filling up the roll. Big roll, lots of meat inside. Novel idea here. You get a meal and then some by getting their authentic Philly cheesesteaks. And the pizzas you see there, people especially from New York who are very picky about their pizza, said they love their New York-style pizzas. It is becoming a favorite of people in the Lehigh Valley. And then now, Panos, you can tell them about their 20% off deal. The only thing you have to do is say, you heard it on RCN. 20% off your entire bill at Panos. They're located just north of the ABE Airport. You can call ahead for orders and pickups, and don't forget to like Panos on Facebook. They have some other great things we'll tell you about in future weeks, like the buffalo wings with their special savers, flavors, barbecue hot, the more extreme flavors like Ground Zero, and more great items on the menu. Again, Panos, 7200 Airport Road, just minutes north of ABE Airport, and 20% off your meal if you tell them you saw this ad on RCN Sports Talk.
Chance to interact with us.
Call, email, or tweet us your sports comments, questions, and opinions.
We want to hear from you right now. And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special in-studio guest, Keith Groller of The Morning Call. Joe's getting himself into some trouble. If you go too far off the rails here, I'm going to bring up what you just said. Not more than 5 seconds before we came back from that commercial break. There's some other sports topics I wanted to get to. Softball, though, we don't get a chance to cover softball. And, of course, that's one of the sports that's near and dear to your hearts. I thought it was an interesting year overall because you had one team that looked like they were good, like Parkland, they're usually good, and then they get beat by Whitehall, and then Whitehall gets beat by Caddy. I mean, it seemed the Colonial League and the EPC was just a lot of fun to cover this year.
Well, Banger's been the story. Banger could hit the ball. I mean, they could really, truly hit the ball. And I was a little disappointed that they lost in the second round. But, my gosh, I mean, we had a Bethlehem Catholic team that had everybody back from winning a state championship. And a lot of people played 2 years ago when they went to the state finals. I thought Becca was the team to beat this year. And all of EPC, District 11, everything. And Banger knocked them off to win that 3A championship, then won their first state playoff game in school history. I thought Banger was the story of the spring, and maybe Banger was the story of the 2015-16 school year. They had a lot of success.
They had a great basketball team, too.
Baseball
did quite well. But, you know, in terms of individuals, Hannah Edwards, what can you say about her? Phenomenal player, phenomenal person, to be number one in her class. Just a wonderful young lady. We wish her well at Pitt. It was a little bit of a disappointment because they got used to going to Penn State for state championship Friday, or I guess they moved it up to Thursday this year anyway. But it was a little disappointing that we didn't have a team after we had two last year. But, hey, it'll cycle back through again. We have a lot of good kids working hard. And I don't think it's always a good thing, but they're spending every weekend of the summer at tournaments up and down the Eastern Coast trying to get better. So,
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Dan from Easton wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Dan, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hello, Dan.
I'll read the question. Dan, are you with us?
Hey, yeah, I saw Joe Craig at Home Depot, so I've had an event all summer, so it's actually pretty cool. So.
How you doing, Dan?
Wait, the highlight of your summer is seeing Joe Craig out in a hardware store.
Oh, because, I'm doing my basement. I don't know what he was doing. So, good minds think alike. So, but.
What are you paying people here tonight to agree with you?
Dan, you got a guess for us.
Change the subject quick.
I'm going to try the best hitting pitcher in baseball, Madison Bumgarner.
Good guess. Very good guess, but incorrect.
Not the right one.
Good guess.
Good guess, though, Dan.
We're getting a lot of people guessing.
Hi, buddy. Thanks.
Yep. Well, you just cut him off now.
No, he said so long.
All right, well, I was going to ask him a question, but all right. The heck with you, Joe. By the way, yeah.
He's my friend.
That's the one.
That's the one, I guess.
A lot of good guesses. No, Zai is taking a guess. No. You had the right idea, though, because as I was starting to say here, a lot of people are guessing younger.
You're throwing a big hint out there.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. No, if anybody reads what you're
people are
saying,
guessing a lot of
pretty
younger.
Easy, it's pretty easy to guess what genre we're talking about if you're saying what you just said.
All right. Can I get back to the conversation?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Just to finish up the sixth classification, too, because I don't want to just, and we're going to be talking about it with football primarily the next few weeks because that is what everyone wants to hear. But overall, this is going to affect a lot of teams. Softball is going to affect baseball, soccer, all the sports. How do you see this playing out? Are there any potential issues as far as the breakdowns? Because those four or five schools in 5A, that's going
to
be the same for all sports.
I'll take it to a personal level. I don't know how we're going to get the cover. We have a lot of staffs around this valley, and including the TV people, have limited personnel these days. The morning call certainly has got limited personnel, and we're going to have to scramble now to cover. Maybe one of the classifications will be up the line. I don't know how we're going to get it all covered. It's going to be problematic, and I think we're just going to have to take a wait and see approach on it and see if it plays out, how it plays out. Is it worth it? Bob Hartman says, "What's wrong with giving more kids an opportunity to win championships?" That's the philosophy, and it's hard to argue with that kind of philosophy. Keep more people interested. Keep more people involved and immersed in this.
It's a good argument, except that it's also the same argument people use about, we give every kid a trophy,
right?
So you really have those. There's two sides to that story.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up the point about championships. I mean, people boil over if their championship game is not covered in the paper.
Right. But his point is, say you win a state championship. Are you going to care that was in the sixth classification era or came in the 4A?
No.
Or even too long ago was 3,
That's right.
So are you really going to care? I always say to kids, and this is where I get it. I mean, kids who play are big on AAU. I get into this discussion with them. I say, look, if you win a state championship in softball or basketball, they're going to remember you. Your obit's going to say member of Northampton's 1986 state title softball team. It's not going to say member of the East Coast regional you know, double A level.
Section 1-6, exactly. Like in New Jersey.
But when do you, where do you get to that level point where, as an example, you have the 6A category has all these teams and 5A has very few teams. Well, what happens 3 years from now when they say, you know what, maybe we better go to 8 categories because
well, I'm sure that's
one,
coming.
You know,
I'm
and
sure
that, that's coming. Then we'll only have 7 in the 6A and we'll have 7 in 7A. And what stops
yeah,
that from
what
happening?
I didn't like is what I, and I agree with you, Joe. I agree. What I didn't like is, well, I heard that Ohio's got this many and
Texas
Florida's
this.
Got this many. Well, we're Pennsylvania and we, you know, we like to think we earn our way to championships. Mm. Look, again, I'm going to stay by my line of, I'm going to see it. We're going to see how it plays out. Let's wait and see. But I have concerns like Joe does.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines one more time this segment before we move on. Ken from Bethlehem wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Ken, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I think it's Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is also a good guess, but incorrect.
Okay.
Good right. job, Ken. Thank you. Ken.
And by the way, you don't like Joe Craig, right? I mean, we got to find someone who disagrees with you tonight.
He's from Bethlehem. Everybody in Bethlehem likes me. All right. I like everybody in Bethlehem. What can I tell you?
Well, is it feeling I'm a homer. Mutual?
I am a homer.
Wait, what is breaking news here? You're admitting it? All right, so the trivia question again, if you're just joining us, which current MLB player has had his number jersey purchased the most so far during the 2016 season? 30 seconds, let's squeeze in one more call. Paul from South Whitehall. Paul, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Paul, are you there?
Yeah.
There you
All
go,
right,
Paul.
Paul,
what's your guess? You got a guess for us.
David Ortiz.
Oh, you got it.
You're
Very
right.
good, Paul. You
good
went with
a good
veteran.
Good job.
All right, Paul. Great job. We'll be in contact with you after the show about the prize.
Okay.
David Ortiz
nice,
is the winning
That's
answer.
That's tremendous.
We're going to take a break and be back with a roundtable segment on our show.
You gave all these people are guessing young. David Ortiz is old. Okay, I was right.
I'm glad you clarified that and you admitted you were homer, all in about 30 seconds. All right, don't forget to spice up your week. Coming up next Thursday, our third Buffalo Wild Wings show will be in full swing. The show will start at 7 p.m., but we ask the guests, if you're coming out there and want to say something to support the Trojans volleyball team, fresh off their state championship, they'll arrive by 6:30. And, of course, we'll have more great remote shows coming up throughout the summer. But next week, our special charity will be the Miller Keystone Blood Center. You come out. After going to the RCN website, you print out the Dine and Donate program, you bring that with you, and then a portion of your total meal goes to supporting the Miller Keystone Blood Center. Click on that link on the RCN TV website. More information on all the great organizations that RCN is supporting this summer, and we are pleased to be a part of it. So come on out next Thursday, July 21st, support the Parkland Girls Volleyball State Championship team, and also go to RCN TV website and print out the Dine and Donate program to support a great local organization. And, of course, we'll have some more information on other shows coming up later this summer. More RCN Sports Talk, our final segment starring Keith Groller and Mr. Joe Craig, right after this timeout. Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk. Big thanks to Keith Groller for joining us in studio and Jim Callis of MLB.com for joining us during segment number one. Time for the roundtable. We'll jump into our mix of local and national topics and get to as many as we can in the closing minutes of the program. Topic number one, NBA salaries, of course, in the last couple weeks have been out of control and are significantly larger than the NFL. A couple examples, down in Washington, John Wall is now making $48 million less than Bradley Beal. Wall might be the best basketball player in Washington history. LeBron James has made less money his entire career than Mike Connolly signed for, and Connolly himself is making $30 million more in his deal than Andrew Luck signed for earlier this summer. So, Keith, we'll start with you. Are NBA salaries, or should our NBA salaries be significantly larger than NFL players?
No. NFL's the number one sport, and you know the NFL guys bring in the great TV numbers, and right now, the NFL is clearly the king.
Joe?
Well, no. I mean, look at the length of the season. I mean, good Lord. The NFL started back in May with the mini camps and all the things that they got to go to. And they'll go all the way through till, February? So, yeah, the teams that make the playoffs end up first week in February. That's a long season, just as long as the NBA. The
Eagles didn't play till February.
They still had a long. I mean, the minimal is still a very long season. Yeah. And no, I don't think so.
All right, topic number two. What's the biggest reason for Major League Baseball's declining interest? All-star game ratings were down again.
Yes,
I didn't even watch it.
America's Got Talent beat it significantly in the ratings on Tuesday night.
I don't even know what that is.
It's
It's a talent show.
Is that, well, whatever.
It's a talent show.
Yeah.
It's but like I mean, Dancing with the Stars, but it's talent.
Well, you watch that kind of stuff.
I don't watch it. My wife watches it.
You don't even know who Pokemon is. I can't believe that.
I think there's lack of star power. Look, when I grew up in the 70s, you had Pete Rose, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays,
had fun Bob personalities.
Gibson. Now
Juan Marichal.
Now there's just not the talent, the great personalities and the great talent. Trout's not bad, Bumgarner's not bad, but we don't have those legendary players the way we did in the old days.
Yeah. Joe?
I agree. I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, you only had 16 to 20 teams back in the day, and nowadays you go out 30-some. And it's so watered down that you got guys making the All-Star game, they're batting 245. Come on, give me a break. Those guys wouldn't even make the field on a regular team back in the 60s and 70s. So I think that's a lot of it has to do with talent.
All right, topic number three. Kevin Durant, of course, signing a deal to the to Washington. They won 72 regular season games last year without him. I think Vegas odds went from 3-2 to 2-3 to the Warriors winning a championship next year. Is that kind of movement when you see the stars kind of all get together and go on the same team, is that good for the NBA?
It's good in terms of a storyline. I think there's going to be a lot of focus, obviously, on Golden State to see how this marriage works with one of the great players in the league joining a great team.
Right.
But it's not good for competitive balance. I think Golden State, barring injury, is going to win close to 72 again, and they're going to be. It's all going to be about can somebody knock off Golden State. I don't think that's what you want in the league.
I think it gives, it helps in the sense that it gives people somebody to root against. You know, everybody's going to be rooting against other than people.
Well, that's the way it was when the Yankees were racking up a lot of free agents.
They're loaded. Everybody wants to see who can beat them, and that in that sense it'll help. But no, I don't think it's good for the sport.
All right, we only have 10 seconds, so I know. Keith, Joe, where you're going. So, Keith, long-range prediction, EPC and Colonial League.
I like Parkland in football. I think Parkland's going to be strong. Tim Monsman's going to do a great job. And I love Phil Stanball, your guest last week. Great offensive mind. Phil's going to do wonders with the Notre Dame Crusaders.
All right. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you again with another edition of RCN Sports Talk broadcasting live from Buffalo Wild Wings next Thursday. We'll be back in studio in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone.
You got it.